More than 100 Toys R Us stores in Britain could close as the retailer falls into administration. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Toys R Us UK is the latest storied retailer to buckle under the weight of heavy competition from the rise of e-commerce. This hour, the chain announced it fell into administration just months after its US owner filed for bankruptcy protection as it grapples with sluggish sales and a $20 million tax bill. The BBC's Theo Leggett explains the impact.
Toys R Us has more than 100 stores in the UK. However, it's understood to have made losses in 7 out of the past 8 years. The company said recently its large warehouse-style stores, most of them opened in the 1980s and 90s, were simply too big and expensive to run in the current retail environment. In December, the company reached an agreement with creditors, which allowed it to keep operating in the short term, but efforts to find a buyer for the business have proved fruitless. The administrator, Moorfields, says the company will keep trading until further notice, and gift cards and vouchers will continue to be honoured. But it's warned that stores could be closed without notice. In London, I'm the BBC's Theo Leggett for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are lower today as investors react to comments from the Federal Reserve's new chairman, who said the economic outlook remains strong as headwinds globally have turned into tailwinds. Meanwhile, activity in China's manufacturing sector saw the biggest drop in 6 years, thanks in part to a calendar fluke with the Lunar New Year holiday and the effect of a crackdown on high polluters. The Hang Seng dropped 423 points, or 1.36%. Now, China might be in a temporary slump, but the latest growth figures from India, due in the next hour or so, are expected to be good news. The BBC's Suranjana Tiwari in Mumbai explains what's on tap.
Many economists are actually expecting this quarter to show the fastest pace of growth in a year. And they're basing that on the fact that businesses and government has really stepped up spending. And also there are signs that consumption demand is good as well. Now, if the expectations happen, then it suggests that the cash ban that came in at the end of 2018 and the goods and services tax that was introduced in July of last year, the effects of those are fading.
And the IMF is forecasting beyond 7% growth for the whole of this year and next year.
Well, that's the IMF's prediction. Economists here think it will be around 6.9%. But either way, that would be the best growth in 2017. So there's a lot of optimism about this data. And of course, the government is going into an election year. So any signs that the economy is recovering and that India is going back to very fast growth is going to be good for the government as well.
Suranjana Tiwari in Mumbai. And also look out for a checkup on the American economy when U.S. growth figures are released later today. Aid workers are supposed to be the good guys, but recently it emerged Oxfam workers in Haiti organized sex parties just after the devastating 2011 earthquake, and the scandal has spread to other charities. Now, Sierra Leone is one of Africa's poorest countries, and sex workers there make up a significant part of the capital's working population. Ed Butler met Margaret, who's 22, and says she's been a sex worker for 5 years.
We lead as the whole Ghana, we country.
The leaders in this country don't care about the masses. Even ministers, they come around and pick us up in big trucks for sex. When you don't agree to sex, they won't give you money. And at the end of the day, after you have sex with them, they only give you $15 or $20. So I decided to come to the streets to make money, rather than turn into a domestic sex worker.
Margaret's been a sex worker since she was 16 years old. She didn't want to talk about how many of her clients worked in the aid industry. But this woman, Zara, was more explicit. A university student, 25 years old, she says she subsidises her studies with sex work.
You have all the qualified.
This is the old tourist area, and you have the top hotels. People who come here are high class and they pay better. You get people like NGO workers, UN workers, you know. I did meet up with this World Bank man outside a local hotel recently. As he was going inside, he stopped to talk to me, and we ended up going together. We were together for 2 weeks. He gave me a lot of money, a huge sum, like $800 for the 2 weeks. So it depends how you play your cards.
It depends on how you play your card with some of these guys.
We asked her, is it dangerous for women working on the beach?
Very dangerous because you get sickness, them out here.
It is very dangerous. You can get disease and you can meet someone who will try to kill you, take advantage of you. That's why you have to be very alert.
Sierra Leone is one of sub-Saharan Africa's least developed countries. It's long been heavily dependent on aid during and after the brutal civil war of the 1990s when a large UN deployment came to town. Advocaid is a Sierra Leonean charity that works with street women, and its Freetown programme officer, Julie Cisse, told me her impression of the role that aid workers were playing in fueling the bustling sex trade.
They're making it worse. I remember during the war even. They started making it worse then.
What is the solution to this?
If they give a lot of option to women so that they can quit the practice of sex work, giving them option will help them a lot.
The BBC's Ed Butler there in Sierra Leone. Finally, you heard that right. L'Araignée, or Spider-Man in French, will be part of the $2.5 billion expansion of Disneyland Paris, Europe's most visited theme park. It accounts for more than 6% of France's tourism income. So you could say the investment for both Disney and for the French government makes Spidey sense. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.